Good morning, church. That is a soul-searching question. Do they see Jesus in me? And I was just thinking, you know, stressful times, one of those is when I'm preparing a sermon. And my wife laughs because she knows how I get when I'm preparing a sermon. But I was thinking, you know, even while preparing a sermon, I hope I get to a point where my children, my family, could see Jesus in me. Not somebody that's telling me, leave me alone. I need it quiet. I pray that they see Jesus in me in every situation. So you're here this morning. And the question is, why? To worship. Because most of us could have stayed at home and said, I'm taking a Sabbath off. It's a cloudy day. And it's just one of those days. But you're here. Why? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Our brother Michael Collins, he works for Chase. And they have a little branch here in Medford. A little branch where they do business. But somewhere, I don't know if your main, where is main headquarters? Huh? New York. I was going to guess that, but I said I better not. I was going to say somewhere back east. But somewhere back east, I'm sure, there's this humongous building, and at the top, it says Chase. That is headquarters. He works in a branch here. Now listen to this. God has headquarters. We are just one of his branches of worship. And he is here today. And you are here not to listen to me. You are here to worship God. There are a lot of things happening in the world today. And I'd just like to remind you, and this is just sort of like aside from what I wanted to share with you this morning. I'm reading from the Great Controversy. And the context is the final days. Which do you believe we're in? And it's talking about Satan. And she says, even now he is at work. In accidents and calamities by sea and by land, in great conflagrations, in fierce tornadoes, and terrific hailstorms, in tempests, floods, cyclones, tidal waves, and earthquakes in every place and in a thousand forms, Satan is exercising his power. He sweeps away the ripening harvest and famine and distress follow. He imparts to the air a deadly taint, and thousands perish by the pestilence. Don't tell me, Mr. Insurance Agent, it was an act of God. Satan is at work because he knows he has but a short time. And you and I are seeing that. All those people that died just this last week, those tornadoes. I don't know if you've seen some of those pictures. It's total destruction. We need to stand firm in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for giving us life. We pray for all those families that have lost loved ones in the recent tornadoes. And Father, I pray that you may strengthen us to continue to move forward and continue to have the hope in our hearts that all this will soon end. Father, open our hearts and our minds this morning as we listen to your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes I'm preparing sermons and I start sometimes 2 weeks before thinking of, you know, just things and ideas, and it really, it's all, first it's all a mumble jumble type of thing. Well, to tell you the truth, sometimes that's what comes out, mumble jumble, but the Lord sometimes gives you the ability to hear what he wants you to hear. Praise the Lord for that. And so we start working on a sermon, and I totally... And that's why, you know, some pastors thrive on the fact that if Sabbath is going to be Flag Day, or they prepare a sermon for Flag Day, Sabbath is going to be Canadian Thanksgiving, well, they prepare something about that. If it falls on April 1st, well, they prepare something for that. I'm not that type. As a matter of fact, some years it's been Mother's Day, and I totally... spaced it. I prepare a sermon that, and here I'm, oh yeah, it's Mother's Day, huh? Or it's Father's Day. I don't like to preach sermons based on what the weekend is. But today is an exception. Memorial Day. As I was growing up here in the United States, I realized that sometimes people don't know what it is. As long as it's a day off the next Monday, yay. Cinco de Mayo, I don't care. Let's have a party. And since we're going to be talking about Memorial Day, I thought it might be good to have a little bit of a history of Memorial Day. 1865, Henry C. Wells, he's a druggist there in New York, he starts getting the idea that maybe they should be honoring those that died in the Civil War. And there, in a social gathering that he had, he mentioned this to some people that he was socializing with. That was in 1865. Now, in the spring of 1866... he again mentioned this to a general. His name is John B. Murray. He mentioned the fact that, hey, maybe we should be celebrating, decorating, and honoring those that have died in the Civil War. Now, General John B. Murray, he thought it was a good idea, so he formulated, of all things, we are very familiar with this, he formulated a committee to get working on this idea. And it was presented to the townspeople. The townspeople were just all for it. They got all together. They made wreaths and the crosses and bouquets for each one of the graves. They placed them. The village was decorated with flags. The cemeteries, they were all decorated, and flags were a half-mast. I mean, all the town, it was just decorated really, really nice. And they had evergreens with bows and mourning black streamers. That was 1866. May 5, 1866, the civic societies, they all joined in. And they would march to the existing cemeteries. The veterans led the march and the parade, and they had martial music playing, and they went to the different cemeteries. And speeches were given, really, really long speeches by, of all people, clergymen. And the ceremonies were repeated again in May 5th of 1867. The first official recognition of Memorial Day, all right, issued by General John A. Logan. He was the first commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, and this was the General Order Number 11, and this is what it said. Establishing Decoration Day. That's what it was known before. Decoration Day. The date of the order was May 5, 1868. May 5, 1868. So since May 5th, 1866, America has set aside a day of remembrance of all those that have died in wars. That is what Memorial Day is all about. Now, I don't know, maybe some of you that are really sharp, which is about most of you. What does Genesis 2, the scripture that we read, what does that have to do with Memorial Day? And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Well, if you just hang on with me, you'll see where I'm going with this. Because in Genesis 2:7, and I want you to open your Bible because we're going to be looking at this verse. Genesis 2:7. There are three things that God did there. All right? Three things in Genesis 2:7. God formed, God breathed, and he caused man to become. He formed, he breathed, caused to become. Now, we can't say this about this verse. That the actions of one caused another to become. The actions of God caused Adam to become, to be a man. Now, I want to ask you a heart-searching question. Because what I'm doing right now is I'm going to apply it spiritually, if you want to say it, figuratively. How many people are alive today? Okay? How many people are alive today because you gave them that breath of life? Well, let me pose the question another way. How many people are not alive because you refused to form them? You refuse to breathe into their nostrils the breath of life. Have you ever heard the expression, oh, he or she is such a breath of fresh air? What does that mean? It means that when you leave that place, whoever was there, they feel like, I was blessed by that meeting. Or was it, oh, I'm glad he or she left already. Whew. How many people have you blessed? So Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed, this is the first part, the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. This word formed, it literally means to mold into a form through squeezing into shape like a potter. That's what the word literally means. God took the time to get that lump of dirt, clay, whatever you think it was, and he started forming, squeezing that man. Have you ever worked with clay? Have you ever seen someone work with clay? And they're making a face. They're, you know, getting the shape, the nose and the mouth, and they're putting the hair. And God did that for man. He formed Adam with his own hand. The actions of God forever shaped man. He shaped him. So he formed him, and then number two, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Breathe into his nostrils is another passage here, which literally means he puffed him up with divine inspiration. That's what it means. God not only formed him, but he puffed him up with divine inspiration. And then the Bible says that man became what he was previously not. What was he previously not? Yeah, he was not a living being. He was just a lump of clay. I might have been a pretty lump of clay, but he wasn't living. And then he says, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You know, when I was growing up, our parents taught us, there were four of us, they taught us a lot of things that are part of our life. Just like your parents taught you many things that are part of your life. Our parents taught us to be honest. Our parents taught us to be trustworthy. They taught us respect, manners, discipline, work habits. And all those things, you know, are part of us because our parents taught those things to us. Just like you, if you have younger children, those of us that have younger children, we are trying to teach our children these things and even more things. Memorial Day commemorates those that have died in wars that secure America's freedom. And if you had a family member that has died in service, if you're here this morning, I think all of us would like to say to you, thank you. Thank you. But there's another war that's a greater war that's happening. It is a spiritual war that is happening. And this war is not for any political ideal. This war is not for, it's not a democratic war. It's not a Republican war. It's not a racial war. This war is not a social war. It is a spiritual war. It is what we have, you know, we know it as the great conflict. It is a great, great conflict. The battle between God and whom? Yeah, battle between good versus evil. It is a battle for each one of your souls, the souls of men, the souls of women, the souls of boys and girls who without Jesus, will die without hope of eternal life. Now, it is a battle in the heart. What kind of a battle is it? Well, it's a battle to love the unlovable. Don't raise your hand, but just ask the question, how many of us have a hard time, it's hard for us at times to love an unlovable person? Don't look around. How many times do you battle to forgive the unforgivable? How many times is it hard for us to reach those that are unreachable? They'll never come to church. Why waste our time? Let's go over there. How many times do we struggle to teach the unteachable? How many times do we struggle? And it's a war. We struggle to feed the hungry. We struggle to clothe the naked. We struggle to comfort those who mourn. We struggle to do good to those who despitefully, with capital letters, despitefully use us. And the bottom line, how many of us it's hard to love our neighbors as ourselves. It is a war. It is a war within our own souls. And this is the battle that you and I are engaged in. And in this battle, in this war between God and Satan, some have fallen. Many have died. And many will die. And right now, praise the Lord, they're asleep in Jesus Christ, waiting for the second coming of their King. But you know, like in any war, there's bound to be fatalities. And we see them. I read the passage. Satan is out causing accidents. He has a certain power over the natural elements because he can create tornadoes and tidal waves and tsunamis and all kinds of things. There are those that have fallen. We must realize certain things. And I'm going to share with you this morning, we need to realize certain things. And one of them is that you and I are soldiers in the army of God. We're in battle, whether you like it or not. You have enlisted. Welcome to the army. Or Navy, if you want. Or Air Force, if you like to fly. Whatever. It's all four in one here. And if you like special tactics, those two, there's room for that also. But we must realize that forming the lives of others, breathing divine inspiration into them, is not a suggestion, but it is a sacred duty that has been given to us. It is not a choice. We have to be doing that. I don't feel like being nice today. Not tough. God has asked you to love. It is not a choice. It is a sacred duty. We must develop an attitude that says this: we have to do whatever it takes. I can't do that. We've heard that phrase. Do something. Well, I can't do that. Well, that's individuals. And as a church, God is asking us, do this. And sometimes churches say, well, we can't do that. We must develop an attitude to do whatever it takes. We must learn to endure. We must learn to endure hardships and never quit. Never quit. Crawl to the line if you have to. Drag yourself to the finish line. Do whatever it takes, but never, never quit. I tell you, we're almost there. And almost there means it's going to get harder. I think those of you that run know that last mile. How many times have you felt like quitting before? Don't quit. Don't quit. We must realize and we must never forget the price that was paid for our freedom in Calvary. You know how much God paid for you? We say yes, but when we get to heaven and we talk to God and we see the real relationship between God and Jesus, and we see what Jesus left to come to save us, then we would have to say, we really didn't really understand it. We thought we did, but thank you, God, that now we're beginning to understand how much you really gave up for me. Never forget the price that was paid for your freedom at Calvary. Hebrews 11, there's a whole list there of heroes of faith. And we like to honor heroes here in America. I mean, real heroes, and then there are those fake heroes, you know, Spider-Man, Batman. But the real heroes, we like to honor those. How could we honor the heroes in Hebrews 11? Those heroes of faith, how could we honor them? Simply by becoming what the Creator has formed within us to be. Becoming what Christ wants us to be. And that is simply He wants us to be more like Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Another question. Are we breathing the breath of life into those that are in our sphere of influence? Or are we breathing into them the poison of sin? When you walk into a room and you talk to the people there at your work, the friends that you meet there in, I don't know, Food for Less, Walmart, wherever you go, and when you leave, do they, that was nice. What an encouragement it was to me to be talking to you. Do you breathe the breath of life into those that you come in contact with? One day, some of the leaders of the church came into the temple and they threw a woman at Jesus' feet, and they said, "We caught this woman in adultery." And they went ahead and explained the whole situation. And Jesus looked at the whole situation, and what did he do? He breathed the breath of life into her. One day Jesus went into another city, and he was kind of thirsty, and then he went to the well, and where at the well was that woman? And Jesus went and asked her a few questions. What did Jesus do, really? Jesus Christ really breathed the breath of life into her. Another time he was walking, and he looked up, and he saw this little short guy, and he said, "Hey, come down, Zacchaeus." Yeah, and Zacchaeus crawled down the tree, and he came to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him. "I'm going to your house today." What did Jesus do? He breathed life into Zacchaeus. Another time Jesus was walking and then he encountered, of all things, a funeral procession. And you know, our funerals are not the same as the funerals back then and in those times. We take our dead in limousines and all kinds of things. It's all quiet. There's some crying, yes. It's sad. But in those days, I mean, it was wailing and screaming. And if you had money, you paid people to scream louder for you. And so here we have this procession going, and the screaming and the crying and the parents in front and everybody in the back. And Jesus stops that procession. And what does Jesus do? He breathes the breath of life into the young man. And one day, you were going along life. And Jesus Christ came into your life. Jesus Christ came into your heart. And you accepted Jesus Christ. And what did he do for you? He breathed the breath of life into you. And today, you and I have the opportunity of eternal life because someone took the time to breathe the breath of life into your life. There's a little story. Actually, it's a movie, a kid's movie, about some You know, this always gets children very, what's in there? Adults don't care. We don't want to see what's in there anyways. So I won't show you. But the kids, they want to see what's in here. Look at them. I have their attention. I could see all their little faces. The adults, they could care less. They could go home and say, well, I wonder what was in the bag. I don't care. You really want to see what's in the bag, don't you? There's a, it's a little, it's a story about some toys that feel happy because they are played with. And one of the main characters, one of them, because there's a lot of them, yeah, all the kids know. I see all their smiles. They're like, oh, it's Woody. Now, if we all close our eyes, you know what he's going to do, right? He's going to run. So don't close your eyes. But there's something very interesting about this little guy in the story. He's very, very proud of something. Every Woody doll, and in this story, he has in his boot the name of who he belongs to. Andy. And he says, I am Andy's. And that makes him so proud. It is not about what we can do or cannot do, it's about who we belong to. We could have in our shoes Jesus Christ. Although I wouldn't put him on my shoe because I'll be stepping on him. I'll put him somewhere else. But we belong to Jesus Christ. Are we breathing the breath of life into people, or are we breathing the breath of poisonous sin into their life? Are we breathing hatred? Are we breathing judgmentalism? Are we breathing racism, unforgiveness, and something that sometimes we struggle with is, are we breathing legalism rather than the true gospel in Jesus Christ? What are you sharing with people? One day you and I are going to stand before God. And I pray that we all hear these words, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. We must learn to form lives. We must learn to breathe divine inspiration to all of those that we can reach. We must learn to become patient and let people become who Christ wants them to become in his own time. Sometimes we have a hard time with that. You know where you're at spiritually, and a baby comes into the house of the Lord, and we want, for some reason, for that baby to be where we're at. Imagine that. It's like telling my son, here's the keys to my car. You drive yourself home. Now, you're old enough. You're big enough. You could do that. Spiritually, sometimes we ask that of our little babies in Christ. We must learn to be patient. We must learn not to breathe the poison of sin into everyone's life. As a matter of fact, we must learn to take the poison of sin out of our life. Let God come into our hearts. And let the Holy Spirit cleanse us so that we can reflect the love of Christ to everyone that we meet. Everyone. The war is raging on. It's not gonna get any better. Our best source of defense against all this is to hang on to Jesus Christ. It's gonna get worse, but don't despair. When you see these things happening, we should rejoice. Because he is even nearer, even at the door. Onward, Christian soldiers, says the hymn we're going to sing, number 612. Like I said, we are soldiers in God's army. Please open your hymnal and let's sing number 612.